B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
30.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
And these guys,
oh my lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Takes him a while to get into the point.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't quite bother changing the lyrics until the chorus, I think.
No, he doesn't. You really got to know what's coming to indulge this.
Here we go. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Soon. All right, here we go. Pretty soon he gets to it.
All you need is what?
Yeah. All right, and that's why we were playing it.
Tim Tebow's Fire.
I forgot that you had to explain because people would go, why are you playing the theme to St. Elmo's Fire?
Oh, no,
burning in Jacksonville, ladies and gentlemen. That's
no one's got a problem with Saxophone on the Roof memories. Woo-hoo. Coming back. I mean, listen, it wasn't like, St. Elmo's Fire was a bad movie.
No. It's an accurate portrayal of the law school at Georgetown in the mid-80s. Now, he really was lazy. This gets right to the point.
There we go. There we go.
They just start right with the hook. Like, what was John Parr thinking when he made that quote-unquote tribute song? He just changed Bronco team in Tim Tebow.
He's been irrelevant the last 20 years and was hoping to grab some cash.
Yeah, but jam a couple rhymes in about Tim Tebow to get things rolling. I mean, you're asking people to hang in there for a minute and a half.
It's been a while since Naughty Naughty, Fred. Been a long time.
It's the Naughty Maserati theme. If you wanted to know what he was thinking when he made that, he did plenty of interviews talking about Tim Tebow's Fire. Remember, he was on like local Denver television.
But it's like, put a modicum of effort into it, monicum or whatever the hell the term is, of effort into it. By the way, the video for St. Elmo's Fire is the greatest.
When he throws his arm around Ally Sheedy and they walk down the road.
Because you think it's just another one of these movies that just has highlights from the movies.
No,
because
it's not
sure
a video
does.
Like that. They forced every last one of them to participate in this video.
And John Parr, even at the time, you knew that they thought he was a piece of garbage. He had that weird white guy AC Green thing.
Yeah, he did. That's true.
Where you had long curly hair. Like, instead of going past your...
No, he had a mullet of curly hair.
Well, but instead of going past your neck, it just expanded outward. So, like, if he was in the rain, it would go down to his knees. Because John it was so curly.
I remember that. He was so happy people were talking about him when he had the Tim Tebow's Fire song that he had written. Oh, yeah. It's like the big bush on the top, Fred. And the little Kentucky waterfall in the back.
But it's about seven... It's O'Shaughnessy. I mean, my mind boggles at how many Q-tips we could fit in. John Parr
is one of the best days you were not here for, Rich.
I you know what? It's one of those things where I almost am so uncomfortable that I never wanted to hear it.
It's way funnier in theory, I think, than it was in execution.
Real quick. So you do the bit. It was how many Q-tips and how many pennies and pencils can you put in Dan Shaughnessy's hair? Dan Shaughnessy's game for it, which is great.
But no video, no pictures.
Of course, no videos. But what I want to know is what happens the moment the bit is done, and like the mics are off and you're sitting alone in a room with Dan Shaughnessy and he has to remove all that stuff from his hair.
Never been with a prostitute in a hotel room, but I would imagine it's a lot like when that's over.
Where you're just like, please go.
No, just
please
like,
go.
Just like Dan stood up and gathered his belongings. And
seriously.
His like day was done.
Happened. Like he was just sitting talking to us for nothing.
The money's on the dresser,
Shaughnessy. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, he just went to the program director's office and picked up his check and was out the door. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of, wow, we just shoved a bunch of garbage in your hair. But yeah.
That's great. I don't think I ever want to hear it. I want to always imagination.
No. If you heard it, you'd be like, this is horrible because it's happened. If there was a video of it, it'd be kind of funny. But the audio of it, you'd just be like, yeah, this is stupid. I mean, I just encapsulated it for you in 2 seconds. We shoved a bunch of crap in his hair. Will Brinson is the senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. I'm unaware. I've met him before, but I don't know how much. I can't figure out how many pencils. And he also hosts the Daily Pick Six.
I've been sitting here on hold for 6 minutes, and you guys have covered St. Elmo's Fire, Tim Tebow, Dan Shaughnessy, pencils and prostitutes. Good job.
Yes.
That's why we're number one.
Well, pencils and prostitutes was Rich as I's.
That Marconi ain't winning itself, pal. No.
See, this is good-natured jibbing that people could learn
correct.
From. But I'll tell you this, is that it's called a sense of humor. But that was Rich and I's failed pilot for CBS was called Pencils and Prostitutes. It was about a bunch of girls at community college that were students by day and whores by night.
It nearly lost out to Young Sheldon.
Yes, indeed. We had another Big Bang Theory spin-off. He's on the Volkswagen
dealers. Anytime you can write a song that requires at least four, wait for it.
That's right.
It's like, all right, when is this happening? Like, no, wait for it. Really, wait for it.
Yeah, I think that we're giving him a benefit of the doubt that doesn't exist in other places. That takes a long time to the get-in. And the get-in's not that satisfying. He just goes, Tim Tebow's fine.
So you have to be excited. I mean, I know you're obviously a Tebow head. You're a bit Tebow maniac or whatever the term for it is.
I can't. I moved into cranky old journalist level now. The most exciting part about this Tim Tebow thing is that it has lit this, it's lit like a John Parr level St. Elmo's Fire under Pete Prisco. And he has been complaining. He's like, your brand is Twitter. You love Twitter. You love the tweet. You tweet like seven times a day. Blah, 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 blah. He has tweeted 50 times in the last 24 hours. 50
Now,
tweets.
Is he mad?
Tim Tebow. Yes, he's furious.
Okay, and now, like, why is this bothering him so?
Well, so, Tim, Pete used to do radio in Jacksonville, Florida. He used to live in Jacksonville. And he did radio there when Tebow was in college and then when he was drafted. And Pete used to obliterate Tebow on the radio. And so one day they had this like charity golf tournament. I think it was with the Jaguars or whatever it was. And Pete shows up and there's like the guy in charge is giggling. And Pete's like, what's so funny? He's like, no, nothing. He points at Pete's cart, and he put Pete in the same cart with Tim Tebow's dad.
Oh. Now, I was in the Jacksonville area recently, and the Jacksonville's got one AM sports talk station, and I think it had one local show. Tim Tebow is from the Jacksonville area, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah.
Well, and Gainesville and Jacksonville is basically like the same thing.
Right, and so his dad is aware.
If you live in Jacksonville, you're a Gators fan, more or less.
Right, and so his dad is aware that this is going on. Oh, boy.
His dad is aware. And this, I mean, dumb radio stuff, but it was a different station that Pete was on at the time. He used to have two, but it's irrelevant, but you get the point. But, yes, his dad is fully aware that Pete is on air just obliterating Tebow as being unable to throw. And, like, the funny part about all this is, so Tebow gets drafted, and because it's, like, part of Pete's brand, like, I think they're having him on, like when Tebow stuff happens, Pete gets calls, like, all right, we need you to do this radio. Like, can you do this hit? You know, you've been covering Tebow since he was in college. Like, Pete just like even at the height of Tebow mania, when he's leading these Broncos, leading the Broncos, these absurd comebacks that is grounded in no statistical relevant. It just shouldn't be happening. It literally felt like a miracle, miracle after miracle at the time. And Pete was the only one just on this island getting pelted with Tebow, just getting pelted. You loser! Grow up and join it! It's too much fun! And I mean, obviously he ended up being right, but that's the only thing I care about. I actually think it's either one of two things. Because I don't buy that Urban Meyer's just throwing this dude a bone and giving a 33-year-old washed-up minor league baseball player a legitimate tryout. I think either one, Tebow called him and was like, listen, I'm going to write that book about those Gators teams unless you give me a tryout.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
Theory.
I was the only sober one during that
yes.
whole time.
Yes.
I saw well, it all. I remember
well,
it all.
Yeah.
And look, he's like, listen, I'm just going to write, hey, Urban, I think I'm just going to write that book, my inspirational book about my time in Gainesville. And Urban's like, listen, I'd love to give you a tryout, kid. Maybe you can be our coach.
Yeah.
Who knows? Or this is a giant, cover-up publicity stunt so people quit whinging about Urban Meyer drafting a running back in the first round and calling him a third down running back and hiring that coach from Iowa, the racist coach from Iowa. This is all anybody's going to talk about is Tim Tebow when you talk about the Jaguars. So Urban Meyer can go out and do whatever he wants and nobody's going to complain because they're going to be too busy freaking out about Tim Tebow making the team.
You're not joking about Pete Prisco. I went to his Twitter account. His latest tweet was, hey, Brady Quinn, can you bulk up and play tight end? I hear teams are looking for quarterbacks who haven't played in a while to play tight end.
Well, I will say this. Is this like Urban Meyer not getting it? Like in terms of if he's Tim Tebow's the best, locker room guy I've ever, seen and da-da-da-da. Is this him kind of not getting what it takes at the pro level?
There are big time Steve Spurrier vibes coming out of Jacksonville. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, But you draft Travis Etienne in the first round, and he's going to be a backup to your old running back, Carlos Hyde, who is a good player, but, he's an old running back. I mean, maybe he's a good coach. Spurrier's a good coach, too. Yeah, I heard Kirk Herbstreit, and I think Kirk Herbstreit's awesome, so I'm not dragging Kirk Herbstreit here, but he went on during the draft and said, Urban Meyer's going to bring a culture of, we get better players than you do. It's like, but no. First of all, that's not how culture works.
That would be the culture of every franchise would be like, I would enjoy having better players than my opponent.
Right.
Yeah, you can't there's the salary cap and all of those things. But
right. Well, one, that's not culture.
No.
That's called recruiting. Two, you can't recruit in the NFL. You have to draft the players inside.
Yeah, you can't just take everyone else's criminal and then, dress it up and hide them for 2 years and then say that it's done. Oh, that's great. He's going to get the best talent. Oh, I guess that's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he figured it out.
Code.
Yeah, exactly. He figured it out. Well,
I wouldn't. The only reason I'm scared to bet against Urban Meyer, and this is the only reason. The only reason Urban Meyer came back, in my opinion, is because Trevor Lawrence was the layup first pick.
Yes.
And that's the only reason I'm scared to bet against him is he. Urban Meyer has the one thing, outside of recruiting and schematics and all that, that Urban Meyer has done really well throughout his career is pick jobs. His job selection is elite. He took over Florida when it was, it was down, and he knew he could recruit in that area, and he knew he could run the spread in college. And then he leaves Florida for health reasons, and then he goes to what's his name? Sweater vest.
Trestle.
Trestle gets tanned at Ohio State, and Urban's like, "Well, feeling better. Look at that job."
Yeah.
His job selection is elite, and that's why I don't want to bet against him entirely. But some of these moves he's making really make you question. And I'm sure if Bert Breer's listening, I'm sure he'll stomp for Urban. That's fine. But I think there are reasons to question some of the moves that Urban Meyer's making, including the stupid Tim Tebow deal.
Yeah, maybe there is a book in the future. Maybe that's what the deal is. All right, well, thank you. We'll play you out with 20 minutes of the introduction.
Wait for it.
Wait for it, fellas.
All right. Read Will at CBSSports.com. Check out the Daily Pick 6 podcast. Thank you, Will.
See you guys.
All right. We appreciate it.
You were right. Tebow went to high school like 20 minutes away from Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Like when I was going to get, when I got in trouble for the Tebow stuff. Like, yeah, there, it was all from Jacksonville. Like, Jacksonville, it was on Jacksonville TV. I mean, it was really weird.
He could win, he could run for Lord of Florida.
Yeah.
He would win.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question.
I don't know if you would know more than me, but I don't know if anyone would be comparable of how huge he was in Jacksonville. Like, he was, because if you think about what I said, it was like really like nothing, and it's just some unknown guy in Boston. And it was like on the local news, like for like a couple days.
The passion for Tim Tebow in Florida, and especially like the Jacksonville area, and I'm not saying this with any kind of hyperbole, is bigger than the fever for people in New England for Tom Brady at any given point.
Oh,
it was a phenomenon.
Oh, yeah, it's not even comparable.
Because it wasn't just about sports. It was about their religion, which obviously are two things that in Florida are probably the two biggest concerns.
Okay, if a guy in Jacksonville had said about Tom Brady what I said about Tim Tebow, would it have made the television news in Boston?
No, of course not.
No, that tells you all you need to know. I mean, it's Steve Cooper's fault. That's right.
Even though
I don't think he's the one who came to my house, it turns out. It was a female. So maybe I've been attacking her. Well, he was in front of the station.
He was on a sand pile. Then he was in the
station. But, like, and if you want to talk about caring about something, like, that was scary. Because I was getting, like, mad death threats and stuff. Because, like you said, Rich, it's like, you know, people's religion. And, you know, it was on CNN. But, like, so I was hyper aware of what was going on. And it played in Jacksonville for, like, 2 days. It was the lead story. I believe the lead story. I don't like short of like a murder, but it was like because you're aware of like the cycle of the news. Because also I was afraid we had just started the sports hub. And I was afraid I was going to get fired, even though they assured me I wasn't. I didn't get in any trouble for it. But like you never know with something like that how cycle of news works. So like I knew CNN was off of it. I knew that Boston was off of it. We had done our show the next day, and then like it was kind of like over. And then Jacksonville just kept going and kept going and kept running the story. And it was just
play
like,
the hits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's like, it's craziness down there with him. So, I mean, that point about the book, I know he was kidding, but I don't know.
He would never write a book like that.
He couldn't put the stuff in it. He couldn't like write it down.
No.
Because those Florida teams were bad. Bad dudes.
Oh my gosh. Many articles have been written about the stuff that was going on. Well, now we know how bad those guys ended up being.
Like shooting people and everything else, like brandishing guns. Like the whole thing was crazy. All right. Well, Rich promised this, and I look forward to hearing it. If you want to just know a place where you can kick ass and then eat some damn cow if you want to, there's a place in Nashville that serves that purpose. It's called Kids Rock Ass Kicking Place for Put on Your Feed Bag. Dan was showing me pictures of it because Dan has frequented this place. Yep. It's Hockey Town in Detroit. He took the Hockey Town and he just there's probably places like this all over. The square footage on that is no joke. I hope
it's enormous. It's like a massive bar in the middle of downtown Nashville that has really cruddy like cover rock bands, and it's a line out the door, and there's always a tease that Kid Rock might show up, which of course brings them all in. I mean, why wouldn't you want to get, you know, graced with his presence for a moment?
Yeah, he goes in and he marries two chicks and then just goes about it. Scott Stapp could walk in if you go by the porno. Hey.
But on the heels of the story of a guy getting arrested for swinging his colostomy bag at a bunch of police officers and then hitting them in the head, releasing some of contents of said colostomy bag and getting arrested. I checked out the Yelp reviews of Kid Rock's big ass, kick ass, honky tonk and steakhouse. And they're a gift. They are a gift to us all. It's a gift to humanity.
All right. We will have that for you coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
J. Jones whenever you want him.
We're not going to do this every week.
Download the Adam Jones podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com. Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
But you're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. There was a big to-do at Kid Rock's Rockin' Rollin' and Bowlin'. Chillin' the Most Cafe in Nashville. A guy got drunk and started swinging his colostomy back around to cops, and now he's in jail. Probably going to get less, probably get 55 times the amount of legal grief than the woman who made the plane turnaround that was going to New York and land back in the Dominican Republic. That woman only gets fined $32,000. She should get 50 times what this guy has to do.
By the way, Fred, you're dismissing the name of his restaurant. It's Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonkin' Rock and Roll Steakhouse, which fought very hard to get a giant neon sign that had a big ass on it, a woman's ass. And then it had a donkey kicking the ass, so it would be an ass kicking an ass, which makes it double kick ass. And finally, them uptight suits over there in Nashville said, "Thumbs up, kid, you're all right." And they approved the big neon butt. Which obviously lured Mr. Dan O'Brien there when he went down to Nashville. He went there 3 out of 4 nights.
He couldn't said get his enough. Friends, couldn't his get friends enough. Just were disinterested in going anywhere else because once they got a big old porterhouse in them, in a little sod of derriere.
Shots, yep.
So this is a real place. Dan can tell you, and he could actually confirm or deny whether or not what I'm about to read is accurate, because I became obsessed with this after the colostomy bag story. And by the way, there's a million different arrest stories. People, I think Morgan Whalen, the guy who got in trouble, who was on SNL and off SNL, he got arrested at Kid Rock's kick-ass rock and roll.
You got to let Whalen go. You got to just tip your cap to the guy and say, listen, you bring us the country flavor every week.
Right.
I mean, you're chilling the most, obviously.
So I spent about an hour last night going through the Yelp reviews for Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk Kick Ass Steakhouse. And I have to be honest, some of the positive ones are just as funny as the negative ones. Should I start with a positive one just to
Because the negative ones... Like what? It's kind of like, what are you thinking? I mean, yeah. You're going into the Kid Rock's jamboree.
The negative ones are great because what they are expecting is Del Frisco.
Oh, okay.
What
right.
They're getting is okay. Kid Rock's.
Right. I'm going to Capitol Grill.
I was going to get. All right, fair enough.
Fred, yeah. Look at the people that are there. Yeah, I know. I mean, this is a big night out for them. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. So let's.
This is a Jaeger shot place. This isn't a fine wine establishment.
No. Let's start with a positive review because listen, I want to be fair here. The 5-star review, and the title of it in all caps is Ass Clowns. These idiots say that it's too loud. It's a effing honky tonk. That means loud music every day, all day. They say the bars are too big and can't reach the other side. What do you have, effing T-Rex arms? Don't like the music? Go to another floor. There are 5, dumbass. Rick Springfield. Who doesn't like Rick Springfield? I have heard Bo Space Cephas, Elvis, Kid Rock, Motorhead, and every other artist present. Yes, I have 2 favorite places on Broadway, Kid Rock's and Kid Rock's Steakhouse. Somebody don't tell her that it's the same place.
Can you imagine going somewhere and just going like, I don't think this kick-ass steakhouse is playing the right kind of music for me. I had a certain expectation of what kick-ass meant, and this music is far from it.
And they end it with Ass Clowns, once again, in all capital letters. Pull your head out and enjoy life and stop bitching.
If you're
enjoy
not trying to get laid, then don't go there. This is a place to ignore everything that's going on but trying to get laid. This is not somewhere to take your lady on a night. Let's have a fine dinner this evening at the kick-ass bangaroo.
Well, you would be a rational person, not someone writing review on Yelp. Let's go to a 1-star review from May of last year. We had a terrible experience while we were having lunch. We went to the top floor to enjoy the view. view.
Oh, my God. That's right. And you'll look over historic downtown Nashville as a...
Look at Jason Aldean's bar next door.
As the string quartet serenades you as you ponder your clouds.
Florida Georgia Line bar.
The Florida Georgia Line STD Central. That's right.
Yeah.
They said, okay, as we were eating lunch, our bartender peeled her skin from her shoulder and let another customer sitting at the bar lick it off her finger. She then grabbed a lime and put it in a beer. Our beer. We tried to speak with the floor manager, Trevor, and explain what happened. Nothing was done. They said that I requested to speak with the general manager and was told she was on vacation.
Well, I got to tell you, if you're the daytime manager of the outdoor bar, I'm sure you have to address many, many snafus. Your job is sleeping.
Here's a Yelp review, which I think was actually said to a police officer first. The bar is dark, and I used the woman's stall by accident. Single restrooms all look the same. When I came out, the bouncer kicked me out for using the women's bathroom. Okay, well, I would say that maybe you might have done that.
So what, is that a complaint or just a fun fact?
just beware. If you're going to go, the men's room and the women's bathroom look very similar in that they are labeled as bathrooms.
Well, there are places, I will, in this person's defense, that I have gone into the bathroom and said, why are there no stalls? Whoops-a-daisies. That has happened to me. Yeah, there's some places where they really don't mark them, and I will say that.
There's one guy who I think believes that Kid Rock himself is the moderator of this Yelp page because he keeps writing, and there's like seven of them in a row. Stop removing my review, Kid Rock!
Kid Rock gets into his office and puts on his bifocals.
Damn it!
Sits down and rolls up his sleeves.
Oh, no! What's going on? He's cracking his knuckles. And he keeps putting, Kid Rock does not care about the Nashville community and all this stuff. And then there's one, stop removing my review, Kid Rock! And then another thing, stop removing my review, Kid Rock! There's eight of those in a row.
Like he gets down and he's like, I wonder what Dingleberry 22, can you please contact the good people at Yelp and have him remove that review? I don't think it's indicative of our quality of service.
All right, here's another one-star review. To the bouncer that made us leave because we witnessed someone steal my fiance's phone, you're as worthless as the idiot that stole my fiance's phone. We had every right to be upset. Your response was to kick us out and threaten us when all my fiance did was take a picture, put her phone in her back pocket, watch a thief run off with her phone, and then tell us to get the F out.
If I'm that woman, I'm a little concerned he wants it so well known that we're not married yet. My fiance.
Next review. If you're looking for a good place to get your car charged twice by a waitress who seems drunker than the staff, this is the place for you.
Listen, just handle that with the credit card company. You just got free lunch.
This is from Terry, who I think is a man because it's not spelled with an I. Yeah. He said the band was okay. They begged for tips the whole time, and their sign said $20 per request. LOL, that's hilarious.
Yeah, right. Right. You're going to play Freebird whether I tip you or not.
I could put $20 in the touch tunes and get the song played accurately with no attitude. My boyfriend's mother wanted to hear Black Velvet.
Oh, she's so classy.
The singer said she didn't know it. Really? What a joke. She wants $20 a song and, quote, she's never heard of Black Velvet?
Yeah,
amateurs.
Right. Yeah, right. What is she, deaf? Can you picture your boyfriend's mother? She wants to hear Black Velvet and get all silky smooth on the pole.
Black Velvet and that little boy smile.
So the band sucked. Anyways, drinking problem came on, and my boyfriend started dancing with me at our table. We weren't really dancing, just kind of rocking into each other back and forth. The bouncer came over and was a complete dick about it. First of all, we aren't from here. We don't know your stupid-ass rules. Sounds like it was a little bit of a dry-humping situation that they tried to stop.
Yeah, they were just bumping into each other nude.
Yeah. If you can't dry-hump at Kid Rock's ass-kicking steakhouse and winery, well, or whatever it's called, where can you dry-hump?
And winery, yes, indeed. That is exactly what it is.
Probably have a space set aside for stuff like that.
Yes. I'd like to speak to Somalia. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a redheaded slut from 2004. That's the name of a shot, by the way.
And then finally, they said, it wasn't exactly clear what rules we had broken. We were sitting inside the little box they put us in, which was defined by red masking tape on the floor, large enough to fit only the two stools we were sitting on. The only time the two of us had either stepped out of the box was to go to the restroom. We were not standing up and dancing. They said, seconds later, I found myself being lifted up off the ground and smashed onto the floor. I'm not talking about being pushed or shoved back or blocked from leaving, but literally grabbed and lifted and then violently slammed onto the floor with a security guy landing on top of me. It was evident that he meant me physical harm. Wow. Over the next few days, I began experiencing an increasing amount of pain to the point where I saw a doctor and got x-rays, only to discover I have a broken rib and massive internal contusions, making it not only difficult but painful to breathe. Breathe and move.
Is this evidence to give the insurance company? Well, I did write a Yelp review. I mean, it did happen.
It says, I take responsibility. Oh, this is great. I take responsibility for being a dick and attempting to leave without paying, but to physically assault your customer over a
your customer.
Tab.
When you flee from the tab, you're no longer a customer. You're a thief. I like your customer. At least have some. I mean, I'm a customer, not a paying customer, but I am someone who came into your establishment. That's the greatest for a customer. Like, guys, I mean, this is a customer.
Yeah. I love how they leave that small detail. You're like, whoa, why are they getting body slammed? Well, maybe it's because you tried to run out of the tab. And then they go, I take responsibility for being a dick and attempting to leave without paying, but to physically assault your customer over a bar tab is way over the top.
You dine
maybe
and dash.
In the 1800s, but not in 2019.
No, I mean, you should be more. If you dine and dash and you get caught, yeah, you're going down.
Yeah,
if you try to flee, yeah, you're going down. Guess what? No one's on your team at that point. Like, as indifferent as I ever was about waiting tables, like, even if it was a other guy's table, if you run, everyone in that place hates you.
You're not winning
any friends. You've lost automatically. I don't care, again, how indifferent people are about the place or everything. You are the enemy at that point.
Dan, I wonder if you wrote this final one. This is short and to the point. My friend had to eat her $50 steak with a plastic fork.
No knife. Yeah, no plastic knife.
No. Kid Rock saves
steak.
Water!
$50 steak.
$50. Oh, I don't doubt it. Steak. $50 skirt steak right there.
You're going to end up with Bawa to botulism.
Well, that's chilling the most. Yeah. Botulism
it's everything
style.
All those reviews say it is.
All right.
Oh, of course.
Well, I mean, what do you think you're getting? I mean, you're out of your mind to eat there. All right, or to have dinner there. All right. Yeah, give me dinner. Like, that's eating at the strip club. Like, there's people splashing.
Oh, that's Rachel's. That's
Rachel's.
Oh, Steakhouse.
My friend was a VIP at Rachel's.
Huh?
All right, we will be back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tusher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
All right, one story that I didn't think I would be so entertained by that's happened over the past couple of days is this guy, Bob Baffert, who you said looks exactly like the dude that Will Ferrell plays in Eastbound and Down with the white hair.
Yes.
And he, please continue to talk, because the more he speaks about how his horse, Medina Spirit, ended up being loaded with drugs and testing illegally, and he's like playing the best victim card ever. And it's fantastic because he has no idea how to handle himself in public. Here is Bob Baffert yesterday speaking once again on how he is the victim.
Is there a chance they may punt and not allow Medina Spirit to run this weekend?
Well, I haven't heard anything officially. They haven't told me anything. I know when Churchill Downs came out with that statement, that was pretty harsh. It's, you know, with all the noise going out, you know, we live in a different world now. This America is different. And it was like a cancel culture kind of a thing. So they're reviewing it. I haven't been told anything. We're prepared to run.
Yes, how it's cancel much culture.
This guy has been around horses far, far too long. He's starting to give them human qualities and getting them getting them in trouble for saying stuff. Like, no, no, this is... Not that.
See, if you break the rules, there are consequences. It's like, you know, the guy who gets arrested for stealing jewelry at a bank or you know, at a jewelry store, when he goes to jail, that's not cancel culture. That's called consequences.
You didn't realize the horse was having a real tough time. It was dealing with a divorce, and, you know, it really just needed a win under its sails. Like, you know, you're giving these horses human qualities that aren't there. Again, why is this guy not on an island somewhere just enjoying his money and letting everything just... Do whatever. Who cares? You got silky white hair. Just enjoy life.
I have a quote here. I guess he was on Fox News, which is perfect.
Well, yeah, he's playing the hits. I mean, he's, you say cancel culture, just everyone goes, yeah.
Like my dad just ringing.
Yeah, my dad just starts nodding. Sure, yeah. Okay.
Well, this is great because this is his quote. He goes, people in the public don't understand. People in my world understand this is all BS.
Again, the horse world.
Bob Baffert's not stupid. That's not a drug test I would use on a horse. We don't use that drug. The horse never had it in him. We have documentation.
No.
We're going to show... Hang on. So you would document putting an illegal drug in your horse if you did?
Like, documentation. They tested the blood. Like, the document is the blood. Your paperwork is of no significance at this point.
The excuses are the best.
Wait, what's this, Dan?
Rich, do you know what the actual reasoning was?
Tell me. Explain it.
So it's like a groomer, you know, someone that works there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peed in the hay
right
inside the stall, and then the horse ate the hay.
No. He peed in the hay while he had cough syrup.
Yes.
And showed up in his urine on the hay, and then the horse ate the hay.
Two-ton beast.
Positive.
That two-ton beast ate a tablespoon of pee that had a tablespoon of cough syrup in it.
And by the way, all the most expensive horses in the finest stables of the Kentucky Derby have trainers who will just urinate on the hay.
What if they did?
Horse is going to eat.
Still doesn't make any sense. I mean, this guy, like, again, here's all you need to know. Here's his dumb horse. So if you say I give him this stuff, I get a bunch of money. Here, I'll do it a million times. Yes. And apparently his horses can't stop testing positive for this. And so if he does it all the time and gets away with it, yeah. I do the same thing. Oh, all I gotta do is give this dumb horse this medicine, and then it starts running around like crazy. Sure. And then I'd get caught, and then I'd move somewhere else. Because no one cares enough to pay attention to the story as long as you stop talking. If he didn't say cancel culture, we wouldn't have talked about this today.
Oh, and now all of a sudden, as you said, his phone's going to continue to ring, and it's like, oh, Dr. Seuss, and now racehorses? What are we doing here?
Yeah, see, again, Dr. Seuss, a human being with thoughts and... Expressing
Dr. Seuss, somebody whose own company decided on their own, this was not cancel culture, to pull this back.
No, see, you're missing the lead here. Dr. Seuss was someone who wrote things down and expressed himself. His thing is a untamed beast with four legs that would just as soon kick you in the face and throw a fit. Again, an animal, not a human. Not the ability to talk, which is or draw or anything. Not cancel culture, no.
Well, the new Mission Impossible movie has been in the middle of being made for a while now. COVID kind of put it on hold. And remember, there was that audio that was leaked out of Tom Cruise going nuts on his staff for not following guidelines, and that made its way out into the universe. But apparently, at one point, he ends up going to a space station. For real, he goes to the SpaceX space station, or the International Space Station, I guess, with the help of SpaceX. But there is one stunt. You know, the one thing Tom Cruise has done in these Mission Impossible movies over the last, I think, four or five of them, is he has tried to do every one of his own stunts. As a matter of fact, for the last one, he learned how to fly a helicopter in order to do most of that amazing helicopter crash scene. Jeez. The helicopter fight, which was just insane. For Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, he attached himself to the outside of an airplane while lifted off a runway. That, just watching the making of that, makes my stomach sick. On top of that, there was, as I said, the one where he hung outside of the tallest building that was in Dubai, and that's actually him.
That's the third one, right?
Yeah, that's Ghost Protocol, which was excellent.
That's fourth one. Never
mind. But in the new one, they are saying that this is the stunt that has topped them all. So apparently, a couple of months ago, there were some set photos that were revealed that came out of Tom Cruise riding a motorcycle up a ramp, flying off a cliff, and then immediately pulling a parachute to safety as he made his way to the ground.
Oh, I'd rather do that than hang off the building.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. So apparently,
or
in Empire,
take off on the plane. Yeah, if I had a parachute, yeah, I'd much rather do that.
So he did an interview. Well, the thing is, though, is think of all the things you have to do right. Well, he
I wouldn't want
to
do any of them. Believe me, I don't want to do any of them, and I wouldn't do any of them. He's much braver than I am. I'm not saying that.
So here's the things he had to do. He was interviewed about it. He goes, okay, he said the logistics of riding a motorcycle off a cliff. He goes, if the wind was too strong, it would blow me off the ramp. The helicopter filming the stunt was a problem because I didn't want to be hammering down that ramp at top speed and then get hit by a stone. Or if I departed in a weird way, we didn't know what was going to happen with the bike. I had about 6 seconds once I departed the ramp to pull the chute, and I don't want to get tangled in the bike. If I do, that's not going to end well. So he said, all those emotions are going through my mind, and I was thinking about the people I work with and all of this, and he said, it's one of those things that emotionally it was tough, because the other one, it's like you're hanging on the side of a plane. You don't have to do anything other than sit there and scream. This one, if you...
I'd rather have control.
Ooh.
By the way, all these stunts are... I saw a stunt, and now no other stunt matters. There's a guy from Red Bull who went up into space and then jumped out of the thing onto the Earth.
Oh, I've seen that. The highest free fall ever.
He went into space. Yeah. He's in an effing hot air balloon that goes into space. First of all, no way. That's the dumbest thing of all time. And then that crazy bastard jumps out of the thing.
Yeah.
No other stunt matters. Nothing you're doing is going up into space, because going up into space is worse than dying. Because if you go up into space and something goes wrong, you're trapped in space like a maniac, alive.
That's why he's going to space in the next movie. He's going to go to the International Space Station,
but
for real.
You jump out of that space station, then we're talking. This guy from Red Bull, he jumps out of space. I'm thinking, all of this is such a stupid idea. Like, who thought of this? We're going to go up and I just came up across it myself. It wasn't like... It was like on the news or anything either.
Oh, no, it was. That was a big deal.
Okay,
when the guy jumped over his face,
I never
it was a huge
it.
Deal.
Yeah.
It was live streamed. It was a huge deal.
Okay, because I never saw it, because I'm like, this should have been like the story of the year.
That was like 2 years ago, and one day people were just glued to the internet watching this guy do this. It was a big deal.
I mean, he gets up there, it's dark and everything. Hachi, machi. All right, tomorrow we have Mike Gorman and so much more. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.